In this week of History 101, you will be studying the Protestant Reformation that occurred in the 16th century. The person most responsible for the Reformation was Martin Luther, a German Augustinian monk, and you will be reading his 95 Theses, which he originally wrote for discussion of church practices. By the early 16th century, the church was no longer the formidable political, economic, and intellectual institution that it had once been. By that time, strong political powers had emerged in Europe. For example, the King of France, the King of England, the King of Spain, not to mention the Holy Roman Emperor. All of these political figures were contestants for political power, and the loser in that contest was increasingly the church. From an economic perspective, although the church still commanded enormous material wealth, much of that wealth was locked up in the fixed capital base of the church, to use a modern economic expression, in the buildings and artwork of the church, and it was increasingly expensive to maintain that structure. Besides, the church had to compete for economic resources with the other political entities of the times. In other words, increasingly wealth was flowing not into the church but to secular authorities, further strengthening their power and weakening the power of the church. From an intellectual perspective, by the 16th century, the church had long ceased to be an innovative intellectual force in Europe. Increasingly, intellectual activity took place outside of the church in secular society, in the universities, and not under control of the church. In fact, in the span of the entire Middle Ages, with the exception of some individuals such as Pope Gregory the Great or St. Thomas Aquinas, the church had never really been an intellectually active institution. Finally, what doomed the church to suffer the Reformation and the eventual split of the church into many churches was the fact that from a theological point of view, the church had failed to keep pace. There were two aspects to this. First, from the standpoint of church practice, the church continually refused to correct practices that were blatantly anti-Christian and anti-ethical. For example, the scandalous sexual practices of some of the popes or the outrageous monetary practices of some of the leading church figures. Second, from the standpoint of church doctrine and dogma, the church repeatedly refused to reconsider any interpretation of church teachings other than what the church held to be the church standard teaching. This tended to solidify the church and leave it impervious to criticism and reform. Luther succeeded for a number of reasons, but perhaps the most important of those was the fact that by the early 16th century, a new invention had appeared on the scene in Europe, the printing press. The printing press allowed the writings of Luther and the discourses of other critics to circulate on a far wider level than had ever previously been known. By the 16th century, there was a substantial middle and upper class in Europe that could read, that could appreciate the argumentation of Luther, and that could support his criticism of the church. This was different than had existed in the case of any of the earlier church reformers who were forced to operate only within the context of the church and not with public support. The fact that Luther could muster public support made it increasingly difficult for the church to defend itself, and so Luther was able to succeed in his Reformation. The end result was a division of a single Christian church, a characteristic of the medieval world, which actually in effect had already divided into two churches, into multiple churches, a characteristic of the modern world.